Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Read with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
It's a pacey, no nonsense, and I rarely say this for books or anything to do with investing, but it was a very enjoyable read. We are reading today The Universal Tactics of Successful Trend Trading, a book that says it offers the correct processes for good trading, regardless of market, instrument, or time frame. Author Brent Penfold has been involved in markets for over 25 years since he joined Bank of America as a trading dealer. In his latest book, he writes, "If there was a book, a seminar, a workshop, or a software program that could help my trading, I either bought it, attended it, or installed it." He says he is a pattern trader who trades on a 24/7 basis, and that in this book, he includes his top 10 trading strategies, which we're going to find out more about right now. Good morning. Welcome, Brent.
Oh, good morning, Michelle, and thank you for having me.
So why do you say in the book that trend trading is undeniably miserable?
That is so good that you put the spotlight on that quote, because people who know me, I trade, and that's how I make my money. And why I've written a couple of books is because it helps fill my time during the day. And so it's all about keeping it real. And the reason why trend trading is miserable is that, unfortunately, markets don't trend all the time.
Mm.
Globally, across sectors, across economies, markets probably trend only 15% of the time. And so for the balance, they are chopping. They are stopping out of trades, they're reversing, they're backfilling, and they're calling, they're making it difficult to work out where the market's going.
Yeah.
And as a trend trader, I rely on catching trends. And if I'm trading regularly, that means I'm spending most of my time losing. So I lose on my trend trading models, I lose on 60 to 70% of my trades. So 6/7 trades out of every 10, I'm losing. And that's why I say it's miserable. And that's why I drag the spotlight onto such an important characteristics of trend trading. Because if you look at all the commercials, you look at all the magazine articles and everything that associates trading, it looks glamorous. It looks like it's effortless. It looks like whichever corner you walk around is a money tree. And all you have to do is reach up and pull the money down. And unfortunately, I know why the marketing looks so appealing, because it's marketing. They're trying to sell something.
Mm.
Well, for people who know me, I keep it real, and I focus on keeping everyone grounded. And so it's very important that people know straight away that despite its appeal, despite its successful, and despite the ideas are so simple, it's not easy to trade with the trend, because we do lose on the majority of our trades. And psychologically, that's difficult. So it's miserable.
All right, Brent, is it a hard science? Is it an art? You know, if you're catching a wave, you can tell when a swell is coming up. There are clear indicators for this. Maybe we can take a step back and ask, what is trend trading? Why is it so appealing?
Trend trading is a very simple idea, and it's three golden tenets. And there are, just like there's many different roads that lead to Rome, there are many different ways to trade with the trend. But if you distill the core value drivers of every trend trading methodology, they'll all have these three common principles that they would share them. It's essentially this: to successfully trade with the trend, first of all, follow the trend. Secondly, if you're on a winner, don't get anxious, don't get overly confident. Don't try and grab your profits quickly. Let your profits run. Let them run. If a position is costing you money, then be really quick to cut your losses. And so the idea of trend trading is very simple. Follow the trend, let your profits run, and cut your losses short. So it's a very, very simple idea. The reason why it's so appealing, despite the misery, the reason why it's so appealing is, number one, it is durable. the idea of trend trading, or the idea of just go with the trend, don't try and understand why a market or a sector is doing what it's doing. Don't even try and understand it, because, you know, even the economists don't really understand it. They may understand it 12 months down the track when they can unpack it and look backwards and go, you know what, that's what caused it. But when you're in the time, when you're in the moment, sometimes it's pretty difficult to understand, you know, why the market's moving. But the idea of go with the trend, let your profits run and cut your losses short, those ideas were shared by a British broker by the name of David Ricardo back in 1800.
Wow.
So the idea is over 200 years old. And if people read my books, they'll understand that I like ideas that are durable, that have lasted the test of time. Because when you're in a drawdown and you start to doubt what you're doing, you know, it gives you great confidence to know that the steps you're following in have been well-trodden by much better people than yourself for a longer period of time. So it's good to know that an idea that you're implementing has a test of time on its side. So number one, it is durable. And not many things in finance are durable. Mm-hmm. I mean, even all the economic theories of Keynesianism and modern monetary theory, you know what? They're just... although economists would like to sort of have their area of expertise become like a hard science, it's not, right? It's just a belief. And probably a lot of it works, but, you know, it's still questionable whether that works. Trend trading does work, so it's durable. Number two, the results are pretty impressive. There's a book that came out in 2015 by, I think it was... Graceman and Kaminsky, and it was talking about trend trading with managed futures. Don't worry about the second part of the title, managed futures. That's irrelevant. The important part of the title is trend following. And they went back over 800 years of data around, you know, the world, and they meticulously collected data and they constructed data, and they determined that trend trading over 800 period from, would you believe this? This is just after the Vikings disappeared, 1223 to 2013. So that's 800 years. That a simple buy and hold strategy on a compound annual return basis would have produced just under 5%. But if you were following a trend following strategy for the same portfolio over the same 800 years, an investor or a family would have enjoyed a 13% compounded annual return. Mm-hmm. It outperforms the buy and hold strategy twice, by 100%.
Wow.
So it works. You know, not only is it durable, but it works.
And it works.
You know, we don't want to do anything in the markets unless we've got evidence that the idea makes money.
Don't try and unpack it. Don't try and understand it. Let the data reveal itself to you. Follow the data, so to speak. I wonder if we can ground this a little, Brent, for our listeners. Can you share the sort of trends that have caught your attention recently? I think this would help us understand what it is we're looking out for.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So it's a trend training, essentially. If you see a market moving in a certain direction, you just follow it. If it goes up, you buy it. If it goes down, you sell it. Well, I suppose the trend is, well, I just have to look at my portfolio, because my portfolio attempts to catch trends. I'm an active trader. You know, I trade over 30 markets on a 24/7 basis. Within the financials, I trade the currencies, the interest rates, the indices. Within the commodities, you know, I trade the softs, the grains, the meats, the energy and the metals. Currently in my portfolio, I'm long the British pound. I've been long that for quite a while. I've added to that position recently. I'm short the Japanese yen, and I am short the US yield curve across basically all maturities from 5 years to 10 years to 30 years. I'm short US interest rates. I think there's a new trend there developing. Not up, but down in price, which means up in yields, if that makes sense. Mm. I'm a futures trader, and so if I'm short, I'm selling something today at a high price, I hope, and I hope I'm going to buy it at a much lower price in days, weeks, months ahead.
Do you have a position on the renminbi?
No. The way I... create my portfolio is that I just trade the most liquid futures contracts on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure if they have a contract for it. No. So I'm just long pounds and I'm actually short yen. Yeah, I'm short right across the US yield curve in the commodities. I'm basically long the commodities. I'm long soybeans, I'm long corn, I'm long wheat, I'm long sugar, cotton and coffee. With the energies, I'm long oil, and with the metals, I'm short gold. That's basically. I should say to your listeners that me sharing with you this morning, mm-hmm. you know, my position, my portfolio, where my capital is not a recommendation. Sharing with you how I'm positioned. And as we started our conversation, we talked about how trend trading is miserable. So there's every chance I'm going to be stopped out of all my positions. So,
thanks for that disclaimer.
I follow my models. I believe in my models, yep. And I'm doing what my models are telling me to do. But there's no guarantee that these particular trades will win tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. But I know over longer term, I trade with a positive expectancy. I expect to win over longer term.
Okay, what from your mistakes can we learn from in this book, Brent?
I think you need to put effort in. You need to work. I think people instinctively know there's no money tree, but we can't help ourselves from being persuaded by a charismatic presenter or a really persuasive writer or hearing tips, and we just follow what the next guy's doing. Mm. And really, you've got to be independent and do your own work. And I'm essentially an evidence-based trader. So what I like to tell people is, it doesn't matter which road you go along to get to Rome. It doesn't matter, it doesn't matter how you wish to make your money, okay? As long as you can demonstrate to yourself as evidence that the way you want to trade tomorrow has historically given you an edge, yeah? Mm-hmm. So you look for the evidence, right? Now, you may, people may, after today's conversation, think, oh, Brent mentioned an interesting strategy. Mm-hmm. Well, I welcome that, but I would encourage them that whatever resonates between whatever you and I have said this morning, that embrace it, take it, but then independently verify whether what I suggest has truth. So you've got to become a cynic in this whole business of trading. You've got to be a cynic because essentially the voices on the other side who are stimulating you and I with ideas, right?
Yeah.
They usually have an ulterior motive. They're selling something.
Absolutely.
Okay? Right? And I love them, but the class of people you've got to be the most wary of are the economists. Okay? And why I say that, we love them, I love them, is because they are well-dressed. They are articulate. They've got their own language.
They've got a stamp of authority, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And why wouldn't we listen to them? Why wouldn't you say to your grandmother, your grandfather, listen to him? But you usually find most economists will work for a financial institution. And if I was a managing director of a bank, I would put my department, my economics department's budget cost to the bank, I wouldn't put it under, research. I'd be putting it under marketing because they're trying to create trust from the television to the lounge room, right? And they're convincing. They've got the right language. They're serious-looking people, and why shouldn't we listen to them? I mean, they've been to university for 3, 4, 5 years. They've got PhDs. But the sad fact is, and I mentioned it in this book, there was two gentlemen, one gentleman from the Reserve Bank of Australia, another gentleman from the US Federal Reserve. And I think they were both PhDs. So these guys were heavy. They weren't just economists. They were a doctor economist, two of them. Mm. And they went back historically and looked at all of the forecasts all the major central banks did on, what's the future estimate of their country's GDP? Okay. What's the future estimate of inflation? Yep. Anyway, the result of their paper was they were clueless. Mm. They were clueless. Yeah. So
You know what? You're mentioning something that Mark Mobius, I just chatted with Mark Mobius, and he's got a great book out called The Inflation Myth. And he, too, questions, you know, if everything that we've learned from experts about inflation, for example, is wrong. So I hear your point. Brent, tell us about some of the trading strategies you share in this book.
Certainly, Michelle. In the book, I discuss 20 strategies, and that's probably too many to discuss this morning. But essentially, in broad brush strokes within the trend trading universe, you have a category of methodologies which refers to relative momentum trend trading. And then you have another broad class called absolute momentum trend trading. Now, relative momentum trend trading is just saying you can either use price or you can use time. For price, relative price trend trading is essentially, many people would have heard of a very simple moving average strategy. That if the closing price closes above a particular moving average, whichever one the trader wishes to use, that would indicate the trend is up. So the trader would buy. There was a strategy that was produced or actually shared publicly in 1935 by Gartley. And his was a 3 and 6 week crossover. A very simple strategy. And the reason why I mention this one is because what's really important when we're trading is that we trade a robust methodology, one that's lasted the test of time. And so the greatest gift the market can give you and I as traders or investors is a strategy that's what's called out of sample. So it's preferable not to trade an idea that somebody shares with you today because there's no out of sample data we can test it on. But if Gartley shares with us a trend following strategy in 1935, then all the data since 1935 is out of sample. So essentially, there's no cheating. Does that make sense?
Pretty much.
No cheating because the idea was released or shared in 1935. And so if your listeners want to go and build that model up and test it over a diversified portfolio, you will see that it will make money. And essentially, if a three-week moving average closes above the six-week moving average, that suggests the market is trending up. So therefore, you have to buy. If a three-week close below the six-week average close, then the trend is down and you have to sell. That's a strategy that's been known for over like almost 90 years. It makes money. I wouldn't say it's the best, but it makes money. Another example of relative trend trading is, say, rather than time, it make it price. A really simple idea. And this was written by Cowles and Jones in 1933. And they just said, for example, if your Singapore index, if it closes at the end of February higher than where it closed at the end of January, well, it means the trend is up. You buy it on the first day of March. If February closes below where January closed, the trend is down. And so you would sell your index or, say, the futures contract on the 1st of March. So it's basically called a monthly close model where it's time-based, which is the monthly time frame. It's relative, i.e., where will the close be in February relative to where the close was in January? If it's down, we look to sell it. If it's up, we look to buy it. If it closes up and we buy it on the 1st of March, we see what happens, where does the market close at the end of March. If it closes up at the end of March, we keep the position. If it closes up again in April, we keep the position. And so it's just trend, you're just following the trend. We don't try and understand why the market's going up. We don't question it. We just follow it. So that's a really easy model. That idea is, you know, 85 years old. It makes money. Simple ideas. Now, the other category of trend trading is what refers to absolute momentum trend trading. And this is probably what most people are aware of, whereas you look at a price level, it's an absolute level. So there's no time involved. It's just that You look for a level, and if the market closes above that level, if it's intra-week, intra-month, makes no difference. If it closes above that level, then it would suggest the trend is up and you have to buy. If there's an absolute level that's lower than where the market is now and it closes below that, you have to sell it. Now, there's two interesting models which are great examples of this absolute momentum trend trading. Mm-hmm. There is the Donchian four-week rule, and that is 60 years old. And I think, personally, it is one of the most powerful, most successful, publicly available trading methodologies. And it's the four-week rule is simple. Essentially, somebody is in their market, if it's the S&P, if it's the FTSE, if it's the Hang Seng, mm-hmm. if it's the Nikkei, you're in the market all the time. Yep. And if the market, if you're long and the market suddenly closes below the lowest low of the last 4 weeks, because the four-week rule, right, the four-week rule, if the market closes below the lowest low of the last 4 weeks, then you go short. If you're short and the market keeps going down, you stay short. But whenever the market rallies and takes out the highest high of the last 4 weeks, you have to stop yourself out and reverse and go long. Okay? So there's only one rule. One rule. You're always in the market, and you're just stopping and reversing if the market takes out the opposite 4 week, either highest high or lowest low. And that strategy has been known since 1960, so it's 81 years old, and it still makes money today. Now, the interesting thing is, the other strategy I want to mention to you is a very popular strategy that a lot of traders are aware of, and it's called the turtle trading strategy that Richard Dennis taught his turtles.
Turtles?
He called his students the turtles.
I see.
And it was just an experiment that he wanted to know whether traders could be... Are they naturally born as instinctive traders? Are good traders instinctive?
Or are they
taught? Mm-hmm. And so he employed about 20 people, and he taught them his rules. And the industry back in the early 80s referred to the students as turtles. Mm-hmm. And Richard Dennis just took Donchian's four-week rule and just improved on it. And essentially what Richard Dennis did with the turtles strategy was to say, okay, if I've gone long because the market's taken out the highest high of the last 4 weeks, rather than waiting for an opposite break of the lowest low of the last 4 weeks, which means your stop is about, on average, about a 5 or 6% move against you, because, markets move quite far and within 4 weeks. He would only allow like a 2 week stop. So you get in on a 4 week break of the highest high or a 4 week break of the lowest low. But if you go long, you'll put a stop at a break of the lowest low of just the last 2 weeks. So we're not going to wait for the market to go against us for 4 weeks. We'll only let the market move against us for 2 weeks. So it's a variation of the four-week rule, but I think it's a very, very good variation. And if people are looking for a strategy to get started with, I would highly recommend that they study it and give it a lot of their attention.
Yep.
And understand how it works, because it's a really good benchmark from either to keep or to improve upon.
Thank you, Brent. That's a lot of information. And I'm sure if our listeners want more granularity on the trading strategies that you detail, they can pick up your book and find out more. The title is The Universal Tactics of Successful Trend Trading. That's the book we're reading today. And you just heard Brent Penfold. And by the way, Richard Dennis, that legendary commodity trader who called his students turtles, did you know that he called them turtles after visiting turtle farms here in Singapore? Because he thought he could grow traders as quickly and efficiently as farm-grown turtles. So interesting. We bring it back home. This is Reed. I'm Michelle Martin. Thank you for joining me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.